This is the Guitar Hour we've been waiting for. I thought he was going to come last week, but then we realized it's this week that we have John Goulart with us, and we'll get to probe much about the artistic mind of the guitarist John Goulart, who's playing the Guitar Series concert tomorrow night. We'll talk about that too. But let's begin by hearing some of his playing from his Toward the Millennium CD. This is one of the terrific guitar pieces written by a guitarist of the recent generation, Andrew York's Sunburst, played by guitarist John Goulart. Andrew York's Sunburst, played by John Goulart, who's sitting right here. Welcome to Back to Spokane, John Goulart.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what a treat to have you here, finally. We've been playing your records for a while, CDs for a while. Tell me about what sounds like the joy of playing Sunburst.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember the very first time I heard that piece was a John Williams recording back in probably about 1990 or so. And I was so impressed with how beautiful it was and how absolutely joyful it sounded. And I just thought, oh, I really have to play this piece. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to record it a few years later and release it on the CD.
Can we presume that because it was written by a guitarist, it lays well and it doesn't present impossible problems?
It certainly does. It lays extremely well. And there are some very impressive sounding sections that that are actually not as difficult as you might think to actually pull off. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he retuned the guitar for the composition. There's two notes that are tuned. The E is tuned down to a D, and the top E is also tuned down to a D as well. So the guitar is almost in D already, and that's the original key of the composition, and it works perfectly.
Yeah. And so for a little quick side note, that's great when you get to have a piece like that written by a guitarist. I assume that you guitarists have to encounter the opposite when a composer who's not a guitarist has written something that it's a lot harder than it even
yes.
is going to sound.
That's more naturally the case a lot of the time. That's very true.
And so then you are dealt with problem solving.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Recently had a very interesting experience where I was playing in an opera and the composer was not a guitarist, and there was an aria that was to be performed strictly with guitar and the singer. And so I had to play the piece. Not only did I have to play it, but I had to edit it and make it playable. And so I've made a few suggestions here and there to the composer, which he was very, very good about taking. And so, a lot of the times, if you're playing new music, most of the time you actually have to deal with composers that do not play the guitar.
So we've already kind of illuminated two of the sides of being a musician, the input, the technical things going on for the musician, and then the result, the making of the music. So let's start with the making of the music part. Tell me about your artistic growth from childhood.
Wow. Well, I took to the guitar, I'm going to say, pretty naturally, the way most guitarists do, sort of in my early youth. And I was always musical, always sang. And then I started playing the guitar when I was 12. I got my first guitar on my 12th birthday. And, I'd listened to the radio and picked up songs that way. And I actually played by ear for the first several years.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern Ontario,
okay.
just outside of Toronto and Oakville.
Yeah.
And so after that point, I started to become more and more interested in the classical guitar specifically. And I think a lot of that had to do with the music that I was listening to, which was a lot of Yes and Genesis and progressive rock, which mm-hmm. I was really interested in. And then I took up the classical guitar when I was 17. And then from that point on, I ended up moving in that direction for the rest of my life, really. So I was then a guitarist, classical guitarist, for the majority of my life. And only recently, I'd say in the last 10, 15 years, have I been also now a conductor, a choral conductor, and orchestral conductor as well.
But there must have been some basis for that. You, I think, just briefly alluded to the fact that you sang before you played the guitar?
Yes.
As a kid?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I always sang. I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and we did a lot of singing in the Catholic Church as well. And I always sang in school and all the school productions. And I remember winning the Tweety Bird Award when I was in grade 6. So that was a high moment in my life.
Do you have that? Do you have that into your professional bio?
No, I don't.
I think you need to add it.
But I'd always had a relationship with singers in particular. And so even when I was a guitar student, I was also doing choral conducting mm-hmm. at the time. And then later on developed that aspect of my career in the last 15 years or so.
And ended up marrying a singer. So
you
clearly
as well,
have song in your life.
Very true. Yeah. Singers are inextricably removed from my, it's impossible to remove them from my from my life. So
can you, I guess it has a logical answer, but can you say that maybe you have it over some other guitarists with that strong, strong vocal part of your past?
I would feel that what that has done in my particular experience from a technical point of view and from a musical one is that because legato is so important in singing, that I've tried to incorporate that in my playing and in the way that I approach the music from a fingering standpoint, from a technical standpoint, so that the music is as connected as possible, for sure. Absolutely.
And again, you've alluded to the two sides of it, because there's the tricks you technically must do, but then I assume a lot of it is just your desire, your ears wanting to create the legato, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, guitar is not the most easy instrument to play legato. And I think, I don't know who it was that said that The guitar is a very easy instrument to play, but impossible to master. And I really feel that. There are some things you can do on the guitar almost immediately, and then there are some things that that are almost impossible, just depending on the technical aspects of it and so on. And so for me, that's always been a way to approach the music that I'm playing, and to make sure that it is connected and does make sense from a musical standpoint, from a vocal standpoint, and from a phrasing standpoint too as well.
Spending time with John Goulart, who's playing the Guitar Series concert, which is tomorrow night at Holy Names Music Center. And since you made a mistake of having a guitar in your hand and we're talking about legato, illuminate something about legato, whether you want to play a piece that represents that, whether you want to give us some sense of how, of the tricks you do to create the illusion of legato. Let's follow that path for a little while.
Sure. I mean, there's some things about legato playing that... when you're playing a melody on the instrument, there's ways of doing it. Let's, for example, on a single string, like you can play a melody like this, which is on one string, and then you can also play it on two strings. And just by adding the second string, you lose the portamento that happens in between, as opposed to. And both have their sort of desired effects. It just depends on which one you think is more expressive. And I would say that the tradition would be that for guitar, you would want to have that portamento to add to the melody. So you've got, rather than, you know, so.
Because
so,
that's what singers do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you know, but there's also a difference in tone, because the tone of the extra string added is slightly brighter. So then you would have to adjust your fingers to make sure that you try to get the two to match. And then so you have those that sort of physical element involved in playing. So you're physically involved all the time with the instrument, and you're listening to the sound that you're producing and trying to get it to match the sound that's in your head. And so, you know, for me, that's always been a really challenging and interesting aspect of guitar playing.
Which, from the recordings we've been listening to, you've achieved pretty well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you think of a short tune that uses some legato? And if not, we can go on to the next thing.
I'll play this little part of a piece from Leo Brouwer, one of my favorite pieces, the Cimarron Negro. The principal theme is certainly beautiful, and it incorporates all different types of harmonies and cross strings and all sorts of different things. But I'll just play the first little part of it.
The legato playing of my guest, the guitar hours guest, John Goulart. Then there's the vibrato part added to that.
Yeah. Well, the vibrato is certainly an interesting aspect that you don't often hear in guitar playing, because it's not necessarily inherent to the instrument the way it would be, for example, the tone of a violin. Most of the time, you're hearing it with vibrato, because that adds an element, a sonic element to the tone of the instrument. For guitar, most of the time, the vibrato is used almost as an ornament, more so than an actual constant sound. So, for example, I would vibrate the last note of that phrase rather than everything in between. Or if I would want to accentuate certain notes, but it wouldn't necessarily be part of the entire tone of the phrase, because it, in some ways, it would kind of get in the way a little bit. So vibrato is used mostly as an ornament on the guitar, I think.
When I hear vibrato, I often am reminded of the times that I noticed Segovia doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there universal agreement among guitarists about how to use vibrato, or is there a widespread?
I believe that there isn't. I very rarely talk about vibrato with other guitarists. Mm. And most of the time, it's not incorporated in their actual sort of general sound. And so, I mean, depending on the music, if the music is slightly more introspective, if it's more meditative, if it's slower, as an example, then vibrato is used more often. But to play a fast passage, for example, it's generally not done. I wouldn't say that there's for me, that's my sort of code for vibrato, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it would be everyone's code.
Mm-hmm. John Goulart, the guitarist who's with me here. And now to go back to kind of where we were when we were doing a This Is Your Life, you got into classical guitar at age 17 or so.
Yes.
Is that about an okay age, or did you have to scamper a little to catch up?
I scampered a little bit, but I was very fortunate because I think I had already the natural facility to play the instrument. And so I was fortunate because I had a very good teacher who prepared me in about a year and a half to then get to the university level. And so at the time, guitar was, I would say, it was certainly established, but it's not as established as it is now, I mean, mm-hmm. 40 years later. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, I was fortunate that I was able to get into it and to be a part of what was going on. And I had a very good teacher. And then from that point on, once I got into university, then from that point on, I just moved forward and did what everyone else did and studied and played and pursued my career and so on. Mm-hmm. So there were a few things that had to be sort of jumped over, hurdles that had to happen and so on. But I would say that for the most part, I was pretty fortunate and I was able to take care of everything in stride. So.
Were you a guitar major?
Yes.
At the university? So they did by then have a, at least allow that, because
that was
only beginning, wasn't it?
That's very true. In my generation, which was the basically the very early 80s, 1980, 81 was when I got into university for the first time. There certainly were, there were three universities that were around at the time that did have guitar programs, mm-hmm. and they certainly had healthy students, although most of the instructors were not full-time professors. And that was much later that happened. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that it's certainly been improved since then, mm-hmm. so that there's a lot more guitar in the general curriculum in virtually every university now.
We'll get back to that in just a little bit, John Goulart, my guest. Let's hear a little bit from your Toward the Millennium CD, the Torina Fonga. How do you say that?
Fandanguillo.
Fandanguillo. Let's hear that, played by John Goulart, and then we'll go on with some other directions. Thank you. Music of Joaquin Turina, that was Fandanguillo, played by John Goulart.